want to say how honored Lori and I and the girls feel to have been invited to be with you this weekend. It's been a high point in our spiritual experience, and we feel that we've been on the receiving end of so many warm expressions of love, from the hospitality at Brother Lee and Sister Dina's home to the warm welcome here at McClenny Church. And we certainly love these other men with whom we've been ministering this week, and we certainly love your dear pastor very much, and thank God for his faithfulness to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ over these many years. Brother Chris has stimulated my mind to think of a text in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, reading verses 13 and 14. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Let's think for just a moment about the saints' everlasting rest this morning. God established the principle of rest, of Sabbath rest, at creation. He worked for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. And that rhythm of work, then rest, was built into the fabric of the world that God made. That rhythm of work and rest is reiterated at Mount Sinai when God gave the law, and he said in the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Obviously, that's not a law that you will be punished if you do not keep that day, and that it's necessary to keep it in order to be saved. Obviously, that's not the case. But he's teaching us that this principle that God has built in, that man was made to work, but he's also made to rest.
Amen. Right.
And he's made to work first and rest secondly.
Amen.
Not rest first and then work a little. 6 days shalt thou labor, and on the seventh thou shalt rest. God set the pattern for us by working first. And I've often thought it was interesting that man was created on the sixth day. Some point during the sixth day, God made man. So God works. Then on the last day of work, he creates man. So man's first full day is a day of rest. God works, then rest. Man starts out, though, by resting in the finished work of God.
Amen.
And then he can go forward to work on that basis. The Sabbath rest is not a luxury. It's a necessity.
Yeah, amen, amen.
Jesus said that man was not made, he said the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. That is, it's in your best interest to rest from time to time. And we can't violate this principle of Sabbath rest without serious negative repercussions in our lives. There's a problem today, it's almost pandemic, of burnout, in which many people feel the loss of motivation, they suffer a desire to disengage, and they have wholesale mental and physical exhaustion in their lives. Burnout's a common problem in pastoral ministry. A lot of pastors are discouraged and depressed. Many of them have no close friends, because pastors don't get really to enjoy a weekly Sabbath, you know, a day of rest for the most part, unless they specifically plan for that day. They have to work while others rest on the Lord's Day. And so it's important for pastors to remember that we all need rest. God remembers that we are dust. We need to remember that too. And take some time to rest. Jesus told his disciples on one occasion, you may remember, come ye apart into the desert and rest a while. And some wit said that if we don't come apart into the desert and rest a while, we will come apart in mental and emotional breakdown. And my beloved, how wonderful it is to tired, exhausted people to know that there's an everlasting rest awaiting us some happy day.
Amen.
You'll get to rest in heaven. You say, well, I need a little rest now. Well, there's also a rest that remains for the people of God right now.
Amen.
But I'm looking forward to this everlasting rest that our text speaks about. These are they which are come out of great tribulation. Brother Chris has talked about tribulation in our experience. And that really characterizes our human experience, doesn't it? Trouble. This is a world of trouble. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. That's a certainty, dear friends. And therefore, we shouldn't be surprised whenever trouble comes into our life. You're going to have the ordinary troubles of life, like a flat tire or an alternator that goes on the blink on your automobile, or an air conditioner that springs a leak, or a washing machine that breaks down. You say, why are all these things happening to me? I have news for you. They happen to all of us.
Yeah.
Because the common, ordinary troubles of life are inescapable. They're inevitable.
Right.
You won't get through this life without having some trouble, my beloved. How wonderful to know, though, that one day we're going to leave all the troubles behind. These are they which have come out of great tribulation.
Amen.
But you know, God's children have troubles even beyond the ordinary cares and difficulties of life, don't we? We have the troubles of persecution from an unbelieving and God-hating and Christ-denying world. We have troubles, dear friends, in the burdens that we bear, spiritual burdens, the good fight of faith, the care of the saints. We have other troubles. And how wonderful to know that one day we're going to rest. In the year 1646, Richard Baxter, who was a minister in Kidderminster, England, thought that he was dying. He suffered daily physical pain, and so he took a 3-month sabbatical in a private house. And during that time, when he was away from his pastorate, he began the daily practice of meditating for a half hour each day on the glory of heaven. He made a specific, deliberate effort to consider what was awaiting him by and by. He attempted to connect with the reality that this world is really not my home, that I will dwell forever in the presence of Jesus Christ in a glorious world that knows no sorrow or sickness or sin anymore. And as he learned and disciplined himself to focus his thoughts on the beauty and the splendor and the joy of the world to come, Mr. Baxter wrote his meditations down each morning in his journal on paper. And the notes that he took during that 3-month sabbatical became the basis for his most popular book, a book that is entitled The Saints' Everlasting Rest. My beloved, that is exactly what John is talking about here, and what Paul talks about in 2 Thessalonians 1:7 when he says, to you who are troubled. Now I want to ask you, does that describe anybody here this morning? Anybody here have trouble and tribulation in your life? To you who are troubled, here's what is awaiting you by and by. More trouble? No. That's what's awaiting the wicked. Those that trouble you, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, to those that trouble you, God is going to recompense. That word means to repay. They're bringing trouble and persecution into your life. God's going to reimburse them with trouble forever. But to you who are troubled, to the troublees, I mean the ones who are troubled, he says, God is going to reimburse you with rest. And to you who are troubled, rest. And it won't be a rest alone. It'll be a rest with us. A rest with us in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what kind of rest is awaiting you, my beloved in heaven? It's a rest from tribulation. Job says in Job chapter 3, verse 17, there the wicked cease from troubling, and there the weary be at rest. Aren't you looking forward to heaven, my beloved? How important it is for us to remember that this world is just a blip on the radar screen of eternity, and that we're headed home. You belong to the next world, a world where you will have perfect health, a perfect body, a mind that will never be distracted. You will be able to sing melodiously up there. Your heart will never be overcharged with the cares of this world. You will never have to struggle with your sin nature anymore. Amen. You will have perfect harmony in your relationships, and Jesus Christ will be the delight of your heavenly gaze forever and forever. Isn't that a wonderful prospect, my beloved? Let's never become so attached to this world that we forget that we're headed home. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. And heaven is my home. Earth is a desert drear, but heaven is my home. And I'm looking forward to that everlasting rest, my beloved. Rest from health trouble, a rest from relationship crises, a rest from financial reversals. You say, Brother Mike, I like this world. Well, certainly life is meant to be enjoyed, but I'll tell you, if God created such an interesting world down here, although it's marred by sin, can you imagine how interesting heaven will be? Somebody says, I can't imagine a world where I don't have some of the joys I have down here. I would imagine, and this is just a preacher's conjecture, but I would say that the God who made this beautiful world with all of its variety of colors and shapes and sizes and different species of animals, I would imagine that heaven will be at least as glorious, if not more, and certainly more so than this world that we enjoy so much. I'm glad to say that we won't have any devil over there. We'll have a rest from the devil. You get much rest from the devil in this world, I'm telling you, he's hot on my heels. He dogs my footsteps every day. The old enemy of my soul never leaves me alone. Now, periodically, when I resist him, he flees. He departs for a season. But it's not long before he's back with a vengeance. And I won't have any old nature. I won't have to worry about pride or selfishness. I won't have to worry about giving vent to my anger. I won't have to worry about being short-fused or ill-tempered anymore. My beloved, how wonderful it is to think about being made like Jesus Christ in that heavenly rest. It'll be a rest from tribulation. It'll also be a rest from toilsome labor in this world. You know, in the Garden of Eden, God gave man the responsibility to work. And may I say that work is God's will for our lives. The happiest people I know are not the people that sit around with a remote control all day long. Now, there's nothing wrong with watching the Kentucky Wildcats from time to time on the, let's see, where am I? The Florida Gators from time to time. There's nothing wrong with watching some television. There's nothing wrong with enjoying, Fixer Upper or whatever. There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. But my beloved, may I say that it is that the happiest people I know are those who are busy, whether for compensation, financial compensation or not, those who have a project, who stay busy, who keep their mind busy, who can stand back and say, well, I have accomplished this. And if you're not happy today, may I say, my friends, stay busy. It's important to work. It's important to do what you can. You say, well, my health won't allow me to do much physical work anymore. Then do some mental work. Write cards to the shut-ins. Yeah. Make phone calls and reach out and get involved in the lives of other people, dear friends. There are so many ways that we can work, whether we do it with brawn or with brains. It's important to work. But you know, my happiest day of work in this world has still been marred by sin, because work is toilsome labor. In the sweat of our face, we eat our bread, right? Now, that's not the way it was intended to be. It was intended when God made man that everything he touched turned to gold, that every labor was perfect. But because of sin, our labor now is complicated, and it doesn't matter if you've done something very well, yet still there's some aspect of it that could have been done better, and that needs to be repaired, that needs to be proofread and edited and redone in a certain sense, right? You say, well, it's finished, but it's not perfect, but I did the best that I could. But still, there's a frustration. I'm telling you, dear friends, we're going to have rest from toilsome labor in heaven. We'll serve him day and night,
Amen.
Says our text. You say, Brother Mike, are you telling me I'm going to work in heaven? Yes, but it'll be work that is fulfilling and satisfying and that is not marred by sin.
Amen.
Whatever the nature of that work is, you'll have rest from toilsome labor. There'll also be rest from suffering in heaven. Romans 8:18 says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
There'll be rest from sin and Satan, and there'll be rest from loneliness, because we'll be in the presence of one another. Did you know a crowd is not necessarily company? A person can be lonely even in the midst of a crowd. Can feel like they're all alone as they face their trials. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with loneliness. Mother Teresa once said that the greatest poverty is not a want of bread or a want of shelter, but it's the feeling of being all alone, unloved, unwanted. That's the greatest poverty. As she looked at the poor orphan children in Calcutta, she knew that the greatest poverty in this world is the poverty of loneliness. Jesus Christ endured loneliness on the cross as the loneliest figure in human history, ostracized by men and forsaken by heaven, so that you will never have to be lonely.
Amen.
It's been such a joy to be here with you brethren and sisters this weekend. I feel that I'm among loved ones, people that genuinely care. My beloved, heaven will be this to the 1,000, raised to the 1,000th power and more. Because we will have the company of God's people. We won't ever be lonely. And each person will get individual preferential treatment from their Savior. You're not going to be in living in a back alley. You know, that's what puzzles me about this idea of rewards in heaven that we hear sometimes. Somebody says, well, I'm going to have an extra star in my crown. You mean that the same idea of class structure and class envy of the haves and the have-nots that is such a part of this sinful world is going to be present in heaven? My beloved, I don't believe that for one second. I wouldn't have it that they're going to be a popular group. There's going to be the popular VIPs, and then the rest of you say, well, that's just my luck. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks in this world, and I've been left out down here. I'm left out over yonder. No, my beloved, every one of us will be joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Every one of us will be in his immediate presence. The rest of the saints, everlasting rest in heaven. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you?
Amen.
And my beloved, you say, well, Brother Mike, I can't wait to get there. Well, there's a rest that remaineth for the people of God in this world.
Amen.
Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's talking not about a rest for your body, but a rest for your souls. And that's where you need rest, and that's where I need rest.
Amen.
That calmness and poise of spirit that comes from the presence of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's a rest, my beloved, in walking in the old paths. Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls.
Amen.
Those old paths are not 50, 60 years ago in age, but they're the old paths of apostolic Christianity that are laid out in the scriptures. You come to the Lord's people and you cast in your lot with them and follow Jesus and get involved in laboring in his vineyard, and there will be a peace and a rest that this world cannot match. It cannot compete
Amen.
With. That's a rest that is available to you and me right now. May I read this poem as I close from June Hawks Goins, a good faithful Primitive Baptist sister at Pulaski Primitive Baptist Church in Pulaski, Virginia, for many years. She's talking about the rest that is available for us right now. She says, as a bird, that wanders from her nest and hungers for her own, so is the little child of God out in this world alone. Think about the imagery. Here's a bird all alone. She says that's the way a little child of God is, who's out in this world. If you have felt that drawing love and heard a still small voice, maybe I'm speaking to you today. Oh, come into the church of Christ and let your heart rejoice. The troubles that we have in life are sometimes hard to bear. How sad to be away from home while loaded down with care. The church can never give you life, for God does that, my dear. I said she was a primitive Baptist. Sounds like it does. But it can be a resting place. There you go. It can be a resting place while we are traveling here. If he has ever touched your heart, be sure, my little one, in his own time, he will complete the work he has begun. Oh, listen to the joyful sound and lift your drooping head, how Jesus came to save his own by dying in their stead. If you have tasted of his grace and found it to be true, somewhere inside the house of God, there is a place for you. Why will you wander, little lamb? We hear your lonely bleat. Oh, come into the fold and sit at our dear shepherd's feet. You'll still have mountains you must cross and valleys to go through, but you will find a family to share each step with you. Come, be with those who understand the trials you must face. Oh, bring your burdened, weary heart unto its resting place. I hope you'll do that today. May God bless you.
There is a land.